Hello, I'm Fei Kwan, and you're watching It's About Youth. The content creation boom has allowed for rapid spread of new knowledge. With that also comes the threat of misinformation. And with the number of TikTok users projected to reach 21 million by 2027, there have also been rising concerns over privacy and hate speech on such platforms. Here to shed light on this issue a little bit more is Madiha Mahmud, the Executive Director of the Communications and Multimedia Content Forum of Malaysia, as well as Hafizin Tajuddin, the Head of Public Policy at TikTok. Thank you for joining us on the show.
A pleasure.
Now, firstly, when it comes to addressing misinformation, I'd like to explore the concept of self-regulation. Madiha, perhaps, how would you define self-regulation in the context of content creation? And why is it important for youths to be aware of this?
I think I could just say that self-regulation is like a fancy word of saying control yourself. And it is something that's not just for, you know, people say regulation should be for the companies, etc. But for us at the Content Forum, we understand it as the entire content ecosystem needs to exercise self-regulation. Mm-hmm. So the platforms, the content creators, the content consumers need to understand and take responsibility, take ownership about the kind of content that they put out there and the kind of content that they consume. So self-regulation is essentially that.
Mm-hmm. So for both creators and for consumers as well, right? But how does self-regulation really contribute to mitigating misinformation in today's content landscape? How does it perhaps you start with you?
Yeah, thanks, Faye. Thanks, Madiha. It's very interesting that Madiha shared this about joint responsibility. At TikTok, of course, as a platform, we do have our responsibility to make sure that the trust and safety features on our platform is robust. We do that by enforcing our community guidelines. We make sure that the content that are being uploaded on the platform does not violate our community guidelines, does not promote hate speech, misinformation. So that's on our part. But of course, in addition to that, there's also some responsibilities that users must take on, including fact-checking, number one. Number two, duty not to not to further spread misinformation. And number three, duty not to start a speculation or anything misleading. So it takes, I would say, an entire ecosystem to really address that.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd like to add to that. I think, you know, you've mentioned everything. Yeah. You know, don't put out false information, don't spread it, do the fact checking. But another thing that I see people not doing is, let's say you've got a piece of news that you think was real and you've blasted it out on your social media and you eventually find out that it's not true. Share the fact that it's not true. I mean, it's okay to be wrong, it's fine, but have that responsibility to say, okay, I tweeted this or I shared this, I've discovered that it's false, so you guys be careful, don't spread it. I think that's something that most people don't do.
Yeah.
They either keep silent
kind
or they
like
delete
it.
Which makes it very easy for misinformation to go viral, but the verification to be silent.
Mm-hmm. So it's important not only for self-regulation, but to take accountability for if you do spread false information.
And on that, Faye, sometimes when we discuss about self-regulation, we tend to focus more on the owner of the content.
Yes.
Yeah. But users and those who enjoy reading comments also have a role to play.
Mm-hmm.
If you can provide context, for example, that this is misinformation, that will prompt other users to just take extra steps to verify whether this is indeed factual or misleading.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really about everyone's playing their role.
Yeah, we all have a role to play when
That's
it comes
right.
to mitigating misinformation. And really, on that note, what is TikTok specifically doing? You mentioned briefly about how platforms are taking initiatives to moderate such things, but what is TikTok doing to address misinformation and even hate speech, especially in the context of the upcoming six state elections?
That's a very interesting question, Faye, because we have we are ramping up our initiatives to make sure that we continue to educate our users leading up to the state elections and beyond. It's a never-ending exercise, I would say. What we will continue doing is, number one, making sure that our moderation practices remain robust. We do this by revising our community guidelines to make sure that it reflects the latest demands and trends that we see out there. That's number one. Number two, by working closely with our community partner channels, the NGOs, the fact checkers organization, to really understand their local context, local expertise. Because we do have local team who would understand local nuances and local context, but having extra help and extra expertise from NGOs, fact checkers organizations, for example, that's really useful. And finally, what we really plan to do and is to ramp up on our education exercise by going directly to users. We have done this through our Safer Together campaign. We soft launched in January. So under this campaign, we educate users, among others, how to control your privacy, how to control your, how to, have control access to your comments. And number three, how do you report violative content to us? Because what we have seen in the past, whenever there is a violative content, people tend to download it and spread it further, amplifying the negativity. So what we really wanted to tell users is, reporting to us is as easy as taking a 3 second to just press and report, and you can find the reasons for that you suspect could be violative. So yeah, that's the summary of what we are doing at this juncture.
I think I'd like to delve a little bit into that reporting a bit later.
Sure.
But firstly, what kind of challenges do you think platforms are facing when it comes to moderating such kind of content? I know you are working with like many different parties, but yeah, any barriers that you face when it comes to this?
If at all, maybe I will explain quickly on how we operate in terms of our moderation practices. We rely on our machine learning, which we would train the system on how to pick up certain keywords that could be violative. That's number one. And then we also have a base or our in-house moderators to help moderate the content. And our removal rate, for example, proactive removal rate has been rather high. We managed to take down 95% of the content, violative content, even before we get any notifications or reports from other users. So that's number one. Having said that, we do have some areas that we can improve on and work on. To answer your question directly, Faye, of course, understanding local context and local nuances is an ongoing concern and challenge. And number two, monitoring policy discussions that could evolve into a violative content. For example, recently, when the government announced about some allocations for certain schools, and it has been politicized into something along the ethno-religious issues, and we foresee that we're going to see this even more leading up to the state elections and beyond. And of course, finally, as we have seen as well, the misinformation during the COVID period about the vaccination, and of course the government incentives. So the real challenge is making sure that we are on top of these developments. For example, during the budget presentation, there were many content that tried to spread misinformation about things that the government didn't announce, about incentives for the people. So yeah, remaining on top of the ball and seeing the link between policy developments and content and risk is an area that we are focusing on at this juncture.
And is that very difficult considering the rapid pace of how all these TikTok videos are being spread out?
It is difficult, but we are quite lucky to have a strong relationship with, I would say, all key players in the ecosystem. Content Forum has been a great, source of reference. MCMC, Ministry of Communications, our NGO partners, and media as well, who always come to us and help verify certain information. So I would really like to take this opportunity to thank, and we hope we can strengthen this great relationship.
It takes a village, right?
It does.
Great. I'd like to talk more about the Content Forum in a little bit, but first let's hit for a quick break. Stay with us. Welcome back to It's About Youth, where today we're talking about self-regulation and misinformation on social media platforms with Madiha Mahmud, the Executive Director of the Communications and Multimedia Content Forum of Malaysia, as well as Hafizin Tajuddin, the Head of Public Policy at TikTok. Now, previously, we touched a little bit on the obstacles that platforms face when it comes to moderating harmful content. But besides depending on platforms itself, I think we've established that the approach really is to take things into our own hands, and that it really starts with us as well, right? So on that note, the content code was initially introduced in 2004, and I understand that it was recently updated to align with the current content landscape, and we know how important it is to keep on the ball. What are some key amendments or perhaps key additions to the content code in the updated version?
There's quite a few, but I think what's relevant to this discussion is we've basically put in provisions to discourage, to prohibit online harassment and gender-based violence online, because that's something that we see happening quite a bit these days. We also have a situation where we recognize the fact that influencers are major players in the advertising industry now. So they should be abiding by the advertising guidelines that everybody else does as well. For example, disclosure that they are being paid to sell stuff. Because if you watch TV, you know the advertising belt. You know that there's a break in the show. But if you're following an influencer, you're not quite sure whether her posting about, a cup of coffee is something that she really does genuinely like. So disclosure is a very important thing globally, and it's something that I think our local influencers are also now gaining traction into to making more compliance with this. Other than that, it's all the other stuff like responsible reporting of suicide. If you're on social media, you probably have seen situations where if a suicide case happens, people are sharing visuals and photos, and and they start having all sorts of theories about why they did what they did. And this kind of discussion is very dangerous because it can lead to suicide contagion. People who are already in crisis or susceptible to the idea would be sort of triggered by this as well. So that is also something that we are trying to avoid and trying to create more awareness of to the social media community as well.
And when it comes to suicide, it's a lot of holding back as much details on how it occurred
in the first place, right? That's right.
But how then can young people really be encouraged to abide by such self-regulatory measures when both creating and consuming their own content?
I have a lot of confidence in the young, in the youth these days. I really do think, you know, people make fun of the youth as being woke and stuff like that, but it's actually a demonstration of the fact that they're a lot more alert to, you know, social issues, community issues than, let's say, my generation was 10, 20 years ago. And that's great. So the only way, or the way I see it, is when the youth realize the reasons behind these regulations or the reasons behind these self-regulation tenets, they tend to comply. Right, because they will question, you know, why do I have, for example, disclosed the fact that I am being paid by so-and-so brand? But when they realize it's actually protecting themselves as well, because if the brand tells you to say something that's unethical or against the law, and you didn't disclose it, you know, it's a problem for you because you might get in trouble, for example. The other example being the suicide reporting. Initially, we did get some pushback. People are saying, oh, it's part of the news. I mean, we need to know. And then we tell them, why do you need to know to that extent? You need to think about, you need to have some empathy on the families, the survivors of these cases. So I believe that when the youth understand the reasons behind the rules or the principles that we're pushing out, they're more than willing to abide by it.
And also understanding the consequences if they don't abide by these
rules,
right?
And if I may add, Madiha, 2 points. Number one, at TikTok, we encourage our content creators and users to disclose their nature of partnership as well, especially for paid partnership or sponsored content. We enable them with all the tools and toggles that you can use. That's number one. And number two, I completely agree with Madiha, because I've seen influencers or key opinion leaders on the various online platforms who have been calling out content creators or other media platforms who have not been taking enough measures to provide a suicide warning alerts. So I think we can see that it's turning into a moment, I would say a movement on its own, on creating awareness on what's the ethical way to deal with online presence and online reporting. So I think that's a testament of great work that Content Forum is doing.
Thank you. That's really self-regulation at play. Because, you know, you mentioned just now to Hafizin that, you know, TikTok has a flood of content. There's so much content. It's really impossible for us to put the onus on TikTok moderators to go through everything. But when we have users who understand the, you know, their responsibility, they understand the reporting functions and they exercise it, it really makes it the entire ecosystem a lot safer for everyone. And it's working. It's working, so that's good.
Once again, we all have a part to play when it comes to the content landscape. And self-regulation really is more on the creation and the consumption. Mm-hmm. But once that content goes out, TikTok does encourage its users. I think we've mentioned mm-hmm. briefly, mm-hmm. TikTok does encourage its users to report any content that violates its community yes. guidelines, right? Do you think, can you explain a little bit on the strategies TikTok sure. does when it comes to removing such mm-hmm. offensive content?
Yeah, it's quite straightforward. There are two ways that we can moderate content. Number one, of course, like I mentioned earlier, the proactive monitoring. Once a content is uploaded, before anyone else sees it, our machine learning and our moderators will first review and detect. So mm-hmm. we will take it down. So that's the first channel. Second channel is, for example, when a content is already consumed by user. Yeah. So and the user finds that there might be some violations against our community guidelines. Users can then press 3 seconds and report to us, and that report will be channeled to our team of moderators who would then review and check if it violates our community guidelines. And I would like to take this opportunity to clear the misconception that many people tend to think that, oh, let's do a massive reporting so that it will be taken down faster. It doesn't work that way. Yes. We really value all reports, whether it's one single report or 100 reports. To us, as long as it reaches out, I mean, we have received those reports mm-hmm. and it has come to our attention that there may be a concern that we must investigate, yeah. then we will act upon it. Mm-hmm. And the third channel is where we work with our authorities and community partner channels, mm-hmm. where sometimes we'll get notifications from NGOs, multimedia and commission as well, mm-hmm. and sometimes even PDRM, right. who would notify us for us to take a look and review if there's any violative content. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much how it works mm-hmm. at the back end.
And not just content, but comments as well,
yes.
right?
Comments, content, live sessions. I know mm. life is getting a hit nowadays. Yes. So it's across all the spectrums.
Mm-hmm. I've been a target to the live content.
Really?
Yeah, I think I've...
Oh dear.
No, I mean, as in, I think I've spent way too much time watching live content. Yeah. It is very addictive. Yes. And yeah. that's why a lot of people are using TikTok right now, which is why it is so important to... for us to both self-regulate yes. and moderate the content mm-hmm. at the same time. But then how do we then strike a balance between promoting self-regulation and moderating this content while still being able to foster creativity and healthy discussions online? Are there any best practices, Madiha?
This is what I usually tell people. Mm-hmm. I was in broadcast as well. So when people say, oh, all these guidelines, mm. all these laws, all these rules are stifling my creativity. Yeah. But the key to see this is that nobody's here to stifle your creativity. These rules are in place, number one, to prevent harm, mm-hmm. to prevent harmful content, to prevent harm to the society. And if you're telling me that you need to breach the rules in order to entertain mm-hmm. and be creative, I question how creative you actually are. Mm. So I think it's the same across the board. We encourage creativity. I think it's excellent. I myself can get very addicted to TikTok. But you know, I don't want to accidentally, when I scroll, see a video of someone in the act of suicide, for example, or something yep. violent, or something, you know, that incites some race tension, stuff like that. I don't want to see that. Mm-hmm. So people who create content need to realize that this is the reason why these rules are in place. Mm-hmm. It's not to stifle your creativity. For by all means, go all out. Yeah. But yeah. just make sure that you don't cause any harm mm-hmm. to society and you don't get yourselves in trouble. Mm-hmm. So as long as we understand those principles, I think we're okay.
Mm-hmm. And have you seen anything add on when it
yeah.
comes to striking
Maria
a balance?
Has covered, I would say, a strong point on that issue. I will just add a little bit about how do we see ourselves as a platform? Mm-hmm. We see ourselves as a platform that promotes joy, creativity, yes. yeah. and the real you. Mm-hmm. So two things here. Number one, of course, we encourage our creators to continue to provide positive content. Yes. That's number one. And number two, that should be well corresponded by users as well. Mm. So it's on the users to give signal to the creators that we enjoy mm-hmm. creative and positive content. We don't want any hatred. We don't want any negativity on this platform. Mm-hmm. So in a way, that's the basic supply and demand that
yeah,
we wanted to create.
Yeah.
More demand for creativity, for joy, for positivity, mm-hmm. and more supply for that as well. So I think it goes down to that.
Mm-hmm. There is a good side. I know we have been talking about
definitely.
Misinformation, but there is an amazing side to
yes,
TikTok, right?
Exactly.
That's a lot of educational content yes. when it comes to that. how then another issue that I'd like to point out really is we've been going on about the importance of self-regulation and digital literacy essentially, but how do we ensure that this reaches the youth in the rural areas as well, Madiha?
I think that's an excellent question.
Excellent question.
I think a lot of times when we talk about social media, we talk about tech, we kind of don't see the bigger picture. And it's very important for us to understand that all these things need to be inclusive. And when we talk about reaching out to those in the rural communities, it's very simple. Number one is, of course, infrastructure. We're going to talk about high-speed Wi-Fi. We've got to talk about broadband penetration, all that. That's fine. I think the government is doing a good job already. You know, private and public you know, entities are already doing that. Excellent. But with the resources that we are offering, there also needs to be digital literacy awareness, which should also include online safety, which should also include, you know, knowledge to protect yourself, you know, your privacy and all that. And it's really a matter of an analogy, and this is especially for the youth. You know, you give me a bicycle when I was very young. I don't know if people still do this now, but I could go on my bike and go around the neighborhood. There was no GPS, smartwatch or whatever. I just see the lamp goes on, then it's time to go home. But my parents wouldn't let me do that unless, number one, I know how to ride a bike. I know road safety rules. I know not to talk to strangers. So they equip me with this. So similarly with the internet, when we give it to people who are not familiar with it, you need to equip them with the knowledge in order to survive out there, in order for them not to be scammed, in order for them not to be sharing harmful content. So that's one, infrastructure and digital literacy and awareness. And number the third one, and I think very important when we talk about rural communities, is you need to be community-driven as well. Because it's not a cookie-cutter situation where it's the same for those in KL and JB and everywhere else, right? So you need to look at the cultural context. You need to be able to give awareness and all this, you know, think about the language, think about what resonates with that community. And I think targeted awareness, I think TikTok is doing that as well, is to make sure that everybody gets access, not just to the services, but the knowledge and the, you know, equipped with the safety and everything else that is equivalent to everyone else. Make it inclusive. So I think that's the best way. We all can work together to make sure that everyone has you know, equal access and equal joy in using these things.
Yeah, back to the education point, right? And I like what you said, inclusivity. Hafizin, is there anything you'd like to add on?
Yeah, that is really an excellent, exciting question, Faye. Maybe let me start by saying that Malaysia is a very important market for us. When I say that, we don't want just to operate here. We want to have a strong presence. We want to contribute to the society at large. And we have few plans in the immediate and long term as well. In the short term, to comment on what Madiha said about the robust ecosystem or infrastructure that we already have. For example, Malaysia has over 1,000 Pusat Ekonomi Digital. Initiative led by KKD and MCMC. So we are exploring ways how we could go down to the ground and provide some trainings, offline trainings to the target youth groups in those areas. So what we have in mind is an offline training to provide three modules. Number one, on digital literacy, educating them on the do's and the don'ts, how to fight online scam, how to detect, you know, online bullying and report that and address that. That's number one. And number two, we wanted to train youth in the rural areas and of course small medium enterprises as well, SMEs, on the skills to produce your own content, like a content creation module. And the third one is on e-commerce, because TikTok Shop is doing rather well in Malaysia. It's booming. So this is one of the commitments that we wanted to do in Malaysia within the next few months. That's number one. In the long term, what we really plan to do is coming up with a policy programs, how we can reach out to maybe university students or students in the Sekolah Menengah, for example, to educate them about the digital literacy as well, finding ways that are not boring and fun. Among others, maybe some comics, some gamifications. So this is one area that we continue to explore, potentially maybe by next year. So this is our long-term plan to complement the short-term plan that we plan to do. So that's pretty much the summary that we plan to do.
Very interesting to hear that.
If I may add also, Faye, we have robust online training ecosystem already. all modules are uploaded here and there, mm-hmm. but sometimes all we need is just go down
yes.
and, like Madiha said, bring in the community yeah. together with mm-hmm. us. So yeah, sorry.
Happy to work with you on that, by the way.
Thank you so much, Madiha. Look forward to it.
Yeah. So engaging the youth both online and offline yeah. as mm-hmm. well, even though it is a social media platform.
Yes. Agreed.
Right.
Agreed.
Well, I think we've established here really it's our shared responsibility mm-hmm. to ensure a safe, fun and responsible digital environment. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining me on the show. I've been speaking
pleasure to
Madiha Mahmood and Hafizin Tajuddin. You've been tuning in to It's About Youth with me, Fei Kwan. Thanks for watching. See you next time.